ask an interest in your prayers as we change the order of service. It's been a great blessing to my soul to have been here this morning. The worship service has been a great blessing. I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Read to you from the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 2. He begins in the middle of a thought. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The therefore is based upon the superiority of the New Testament revelation that has come to us directly from the Son of God and from those who were His eyewitnesses, those who were His apostles, those who were handpicked by Him and appointed by Him to spread the message of His gospel. Paul says, or the Hebrew writer says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, this was speaking to believing Jews, and he's talking about the New Testament in contrast with the Old Testament. And he says, as much as the law was important and was a gift from God, he says, how much more so is the New Testament and the message of sovereign grace? And he says that it's important for us because of the superiority of the messenger. It's important for us to embrace and remember the superiority of the message. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So it's important for us, as Elder Aquino prayed, for us in the hearing and the learning of God's Word and the applying of God's Word to give diligence to the things that we're learning, to the things that God's teaching us from His Word. For if the Word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? The warning is for us to neglect God's Word, to neglect the message of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of His death, burial, and resurrection. If it's possible, if he's not speaking just theoretically, he says, if transgressing God's holy law meant there was punishment, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The law said, if you do this, you shall live, and you disobey, you shall die. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The theme that you find over and over again in the book of Hebrews is the writer giving a warning to those who have believed on Jesus Christ. He's warning them of the danger of falling away from their profession. I believe when you take the whole account of scriptures that the Bible teaches very clearly that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That if you believe that it's God that's given you that faith, and God will sustain you even in times of weakness and times of discouragement, He has a way of encouraging and strengthening you. But it also says that we should be very diligent and be very steadfast in our hearts and minds to remain faithful and to hold fast to our faith in Christ. Satan will come along and he'll say, well, you can have your faith in Christ, But just don't tell anybody about it. You can go to church. You can believe what you want to. Just don't bring your beliefs into the public, the marketplace, or into the lives of those who might disagree with you. You can have your faith, just don't demonstrate it. He says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will, speaking about the spiritual gifts that God gave to the apostles to verify the truthfulness of their message, that they were speaking God's word, they were speaking God's truth, they were faithful messengers of Jesus Christ, and they were given the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He's talking about the superiority of the New Testament message and the messenger. And he's bringing out a paradox. And the paradox is this. According to the Hebrew writer, the Old Testament was received through the mediation of angels. Moses received it on the mountaintop, and there was the angels of God there. And that's what the Hebrew writer says, the Old Testament was received through the mediation of angels. He says the New Testament message was received directly from the Son of God, who's the brightness of God's glory, the expressed image of God's person. But he says, here's the paradox. The Word of God says that man was made a little lower than the angels. And so, while he's urging and encouraging Christians to maintain their faith in Christ and to faithfully persevere in the faith, he's also bringing out the fact that Jesus, infinitely superior to the angels of God, which are his creatures, was made for a time a little lower than the angels. That this superior message and the superior messenger, who's infinitely greater than all the angels combined, yet the scripture says was made a little lower than the angels in the order of creation. Man was made lower than the angels. Jesus Christ became a man. He says, Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. That's talking about God's creation of man in the Garden of Eden. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That's what God says he's done for mankind. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. So all of God's creation is under the subjection of man. And yet the Hebrew writer says, we don't see all things put in subjection under him. And even the Son of God became a little lower than created angels for the suffering of death. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things, became a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he might redeem you, that he might redeem his people from their sins. And now he has been enthroned in heaven with glory and honor, and all things are being put in subjection under him. The Son of Man, man who is made a little lower than the angels, is now ruler. Man is literally ruler over all things. The Son of Man sits at the right hand of the throne of God. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. There's a mystery in this text here where it talks about Jesus being made perfect through sufferings. How can the perfect Son of God be made any more perfect? How can the Word of God say that the Holy Son of God, the eternal Word of God made flesh, was made perfect through sufferings. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain the Trinity to you. But it says that Jesus, as part of his work in redeeming you and I, was made perfect through sufferings. I believe that probably has to do with his office as a mediator, as the great high priest, as the one who intercedes on behalf of his people. That having gone through suffering, having gone through and tasted death for you and for I, that he is now perfectly suited and fitted for that work of mediator and intercessor. And he knows how to pray for you, and he knows what you stand in need of. He has not just the divine knowledge that he has of all things, his omniscience, but he has the divine experience of knowing what it means to be a human and to be in a sin-cursed earth and to have the afflictions and the weaknesses that come from being a man. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, Jesus is the one that sanctifies. He's the one that makes pure. He's the one that makes holy. He's the one that saves from sin. And they who are sanctified, that's his elect, that's his church, that's his bride, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tasted and experienced what it means to be a human, so that, and I don't want to go too far beyond Scripture, but so that you, as God's children, might taste and experience sweet, intimate, and communion and fellowship with God. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. He's quoting Old Testament scriptures, and he says, this is the literal words of Jesus Christ. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help. That's what the word succor means. He's able to help them that are tempted. If you can say today, I know what it means to be tempted by my own sinful heart and desires, from temptations without, from discouragements, from unbelief, Jesus knows what it is to be tempted. He faced all temptation victoriously, and he knows what help, he knows what divine assistance, what grace that you stand in need of. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Pray that we'll have encouragement and be strengthened in our walk with him as we remember the greatness of our mediator, Jesus Christ. God bless you.